Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We're jumping back into a series I started before Easter. We're going to spend about the next 3 or 4 weeks finishing up this series on praying bold prayers. And I know you've slept since March when we were on this series last, or maybe it's February. And so maybe you've slept since then, but every week during this series, I've been having you say our theme verse out loud, as loud as you can, trying to instill in our hearts this reality about praying bold prayers. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. It's on the screen for you this morning. So I want to ask you to say this verse out loud with me boldly, because we're saying bold prayer. So your mark, get set, go. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Bold prayers are birthed out of our lives when we realize, number one, we serve a gracious God. How many understand that this morning? Our God is gracious. He's not stingy. Our God is a God of abundance, not a God of lack. Our God is a God that has more than enough, not just enough. Amen? He's a gracious God. Number two, the Word says that we will receive His mercy. We will find grace. It doesn't say maybe next time, some other time. It says no, you will find help. And you're not just going to find it every once in a while. The Word says you'll find it when you need it most. And so I've been challenging you to pray bold prayers. And today I'm going to challenge you to pray a different kind of bold prayer. This may be the hardest prayer I've asked you to pray. And I'll get into it in just a moment. Before tonight, before I do that, I want to tell you about some struggles I've been having in my life, and ask you to pray for me as well. Two Wednesday nights ago, after a dynamic service here, I just felt a little bit depleted. I needed to be re-energized. I needed some comfort food. And there's a place in town that serves that. It's called Dairy Queen. And so after service, we went home, we put our kids to bed, and I snuck out. I mean, I didn't sneak out. I told Megan where I was going. But I snuck out, and I went to Dairy Queen. I ordered the greatest thing on their menu. I ordered a medium peanut butter cup Blizzard. Add chocolate sauce. And they made it. I paid for it. I couldn't wait to get home to eat it. I set my recliner. I threw my chair up. I turned on my television show. This was about to be a healing moment. And I reached into my Blizzard and I took a bite out of it. And instead of being Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, they had messed up my order. And instead, it was Oreo cookies. And my heart was broken. Heartbreaking. The other night also, I was watching a basketball game, and I was cheering for a team, and at the last second, the team I was not cheering for sank a bucket and won the game, and I was heartbroken. To compound my problems, a few days later, me and Brother Joey were playing golf one afternoon, and all I needed to do was make one putt, and I could obliterate him. And I missed the putt, and I went home heartbroken. This morning, I want to preach to you about this. I want to ask you to pray with me this prayer. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I'm starting to get the idea that everything that breaks my heart might not break God's heart. Amen. I'm not sure how heartbroken God was that I had Oreos instead of peanut butter cups. I'm not sure how heartbroken what God was that my team didn't win, or that I didn't make the putt, or I didn't get my way in a certain argument. But I am convinced of this thing, that even if I cannot get God to be heartbroken about the things I'm heartbroken about, I'm pretty positive that He is trying His very best to get me to be concerned about the things that He's concerned about. And friends, the moment our prayers go from routine to powerful is the moment our hearts begin to be heartbroken about what He's heartbroken about, instead of asking God just to be broken about what we're broken about. How many understand there's a difference between the two? So you may wonder, why or what then what on earth breaks God's heart? Well, I don't have the corner on the market for that answer, but I do think we can look to Scripture this morning and see exactly at least a few things that definitely break the heart of God. And I just want to ask us today, personally and corporately, is what breaks God's heart breaking our heart? In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And then Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7, listen to this verse. "While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death, and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God." Many times when I think about Jesus praying, I don't think about the fact that he was praying out of compassion. You could even say that Jesus was praying, heartbreaking prayers. He was praying many times with a broken heart. He was praying with a broken heart towards people. And today, I'm praying, God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. So, Father, I just pray today each of us will have the boldness to pray this bold prayer. It's an uncomfortable prayer. It's not a prayer we got up this morning wanting to pray, but Father, I believe it's a prayer we need to pray. For some of us, it's a prayer we haven't prayed in a very long time, but I just pray this morning you'll give us the confidence, the boldness, the conviction to pray this bold prayer, to say, "Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours." Help me today to speak what you want spoken. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. So Jesus prayed heartbreaking. According to Hebrews, Jesus prayed heartbreaking prayers. He prayed prayers that are in response to a broken heart. He prayed passionate prayers. He prayed powerful prayers. He prayed prayers that moved him to tears. His prayer life was nothing routine. And bold prayers must be prayers that we pray that are aligned with the heart of God. And here's something really, really important this morning to understand, that until our heart breaks for what God's heart breaks for, we're going to chase things that lead us away from the heart of God. I want to say that again. Until our heart breaks for what God's heart breaks for, we're going to chase things that lead us away from his heart. But the moment our heart begins to break for the thing that God's heart does break for, then all of a sudden our hearts become in alignment with his heart, and our prayer becomes powerful, our prayer becomes bold, our prayer becomes effective, our prayer begins to be a resource of his drawing power, because we're not praying according to our will, but we're praying according to his will. And when we pray according to his will, there becomes power infused in our prayer, and you begin to see your prayers answered in a way that you would never see them answered again. So I want to talk to you this morning about how can we pray this prayer, "God, break my heart for what breaks yours." And the way, only way we can pray it is if we understand it. And so here's the question this morning, simply this: what breaks God's heart? What breaks his heart? There's a lot of answers to that question. I want to give you three this morning from our text. The first thing that breaks God's heart is it breaks God's heart when people are weary. Right? He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. The original language could also mean they weren't just weary, but they were harassed. Or you might put those two definitions together and say it like this: they were weary from being harassed. Right? How many know what it's like to be harassed? Everyone with a younger sibling, just raise their hand. They know what it's like to be harassed. We've all been there. I understand. Have you ever been weary from being harassed? It's not that you're just having a problem, but you keep having problems over and over again. Maybe it's the same source. When Jesus looked upon the multitudes, he saw people. They weren't just tired from working all day. They weren't just worn out from having a hard day. They were weary. And you may wonder, well, what in the world were they weary from? Well, circumstantial. Actually, they were weary because they were a conquered people, right? The Roman government had come in. They had they've taken them captive, and so these were captive people. They were having to operate under customs and laws and demands that were not of their own choosing. However, the bondage that Jesus saw when he looked upon their eyes and saw that they were weary from being harassed was not just the physical or circumstantial harassment or weariness in their life. The greater weariness he saw, the greatest bondages that he saw were of the heart. And when God looks at you, you know, I've discovered the things that really wears us out the most are not the things that are happening to us, but the things that are happening in us. And they were weary because of what was going on in their life. They're, you know, I've discovered there's three things that'll make you weary. Number one, the first thing that'll make you weary was probably evident. It's carrying the weight of personal sin. How many understand if you sin against God, and if you don't receive confession for that, if you don't make confession for that and receive forgiveness of that, if you begin to carry that around, what you carry around will wear you down. And there are many people who have just been carrying around the same sin over and over again. Maybe you've been convinced that God can't forgive you of it. Maybe you've been convinced it's too bad, there's no way out of it. Maybe you just love what you're sinning so much you won't give it up this morning. But you know, when I think about someone whose life wore them down, they were wore out, they were weary because of their sin, I think of Samson, right? Samson in the Old Testament, he was a lean, mean, womanizing machine. He was also a pretty fierce warrior. And he sinned against God, and it cost him everything. And at the end of Samson's life, you'll find that the Philistine army, they captured him, and part of his torture was they blinded him, and they put him into, and they hooked him up to a yoke that was used to grind grain, and you normally use an ox to pull this huge wheel that would grind the grain. But instead of using an ox to grind the grain, they put Samson in that yoke, and they made Samson move the stone over and over again. He was weary. What a weary existence. How many know that's what sin does for you, right? It has pleasure for a moment. It has pleasure for a season, but the end of it is going to grind you down and wear you out every single time. And when Jesus looked upon the multitudes, he saw that they were weary. They were harassed. He saw they were trapped in their sin. He saw they were sinners in need of a Savior. And I understand all of a sudden this room, we all have moments where we're sinners in need of a Savior. Some of you today, you're walking around and you're weary not from personal sin, you're weary from the sin of someone else. How many understand that sin never stays put? I've heard people say, well, it's my life, let me do what I want to do when I want to do it. Here's the problem with that: your sin never just affects you. If you're married, it affects your spouse. If you have kids, it affects them. If you have a parent, it affects them. If you have a coworker, it's going to eventually affect them. Sin is never satisfied to stay in some nice little jar or compartment of your heart. It's always going to spread. It's going to take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. That's what they've always said about sin. That's the way it has been. That's the way it is today. It always costs you. And Jesus looks at the multitude, and he sees someone them are weary from the sin that has ravaged their life, but others of them, they're victims from someone else's sin. But it all weighs you down and wears you out just the same. And Jesus says, here's what breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see people destroyed by sin, whether it's your sin or someone else's. Number two, he saw people who were weary from carrying the weight of others. Some of you are deeply connected to someone else who's in a destructive cycle. Or maybe you're a caregiver and the stress of giving care is wearing you down. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 21, there was a father who came to Jesus one day and he asked him, would you please help my son? He's been possessed by demons since he was a boy, and your disciples, I brought him to them, but no one can help us with this. Would you please have pity on us? And this father said these words, would you please have pity on us and help us? It wasn't his problem. It was his son's problem. But how many understand the only thing that's worse than you have a problem is your children having a problem, right? And when that happens to you, it cannot just wear you down. It can wear you out. And when Jesus looked over the crowd, he was heartbroken because he saw people who were carrying burdens that they were never meant to carry alone, who had issues they could not solve their own. He looked and he saw they were weary, and he had compassion for them. And friends, what broke his heart should break our heart today. When you see people at your job, at your school, in the marketplace, wherever it is, when you see they are overwhelmed by life today and they're broken hearted, how many understand it should break our heart too? Our response shouldn't be, that is too bad. We should be people that are broken just like Jesus was. Third thing that'll make you weary is when you carry the hurt of disappointment. The people, when Jesus saw the multitude, people who have been waiting on the Messiah to appear for hundreds of years. Proverbs says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many ever had to wait? Have you ever had to wait on a promise from God? Would you say it's easy to get bitter and worn out when you're waiting on a promise from God to be fulfilled? And Jesus looked and he saw people who were wore out from hope being deferred. They were weary of everything that was going on to them. But hear me this morning. It doesn't matter why you're wore out. And it doesn't matter why you're weary, because Jesus, who saw them with a broken heart, is the same one that said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? Put my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble. You'll find rest for your souls. Do you know Jesus has rest for your souls today? I want to ask you to bow your heads right now. Don't get excited. I'm not quitting. But I want to ask you, how many in this room now, right now, just this private moment, maybe you're watching online, you say, Pastor, I'm weary. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor, I'm weary. I'm weary. Life just keeps happening. Maybe you're weary because of things that you've done. Maybe you're weary because of the things going on around you. Maybe you're weary because you've just been hoping and hoping, and your hope's been deferred. Can I just tell you this morning, Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And right now, I just want to pray for you if you lift your hands. Father, I just pray. God, breathe in hope fresh this morning. God, breathe in life this morning. Lord, I pray that those who are downcast, those who feel destitute, those who feel just so weary, I pray this morning you'll breathe new life into them. Even as they're sitting in this chair in this private moment today, there was just sense, an inner strength, Lord, well up from inside of them this morning. They're going to have new hope they never hope had before, because they understand you see them and you're strengthening them and you care about them and you love them and you're going to be with them, not just in this moment but every moment. God, I pray as their day is, may their strength always be in you. And I pray for supernatural strength to flood their life in this moment. In Jesus' name. Well, you lift our hands all across this room. Just receive it right now. God, I just thank you for strengthening me. God, I thank you for strengthening me this morning. I thank you that you see my weariness. And you don't look away, but Lord, the word says you looked upon them with compassion. God, I thank you. You're our strength and our shield today. You're our source. You're our power. I pray you'll breathe into the people this morning fresh and new. In Jesus' name. So we got to pray, God, break our hearts. When we see weary people, understand that our job is not to see them and walk away, but our job is to say, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Number two, what's the second thing that breaks God's heart? It breaks his heart when he sees people living scattered lives. He saw they were weary. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because they were weary and they were scattered. What does scattered mean? Jesus is using a term for shepherding and sheep. To be scattered means they were separated. Worse than that, they were isolated, which makes them vulnerable. This is not a new issue to the heart of God. Ezekiel chapter 34, he says, my sheep wandered all over the mountains and upon every high hill. They were scattered all over the earth, and no one searched for them. No one looked for them. scattered. A few weeks ago, I went to the refrigerator and I was just opening it up to get a drink or something like that. And we have one of these Sam's Club bottles of salsa. About this tall, you know what I'm talking about? Right? Take a normal bottle of salsa, times it by four. That's what you get at Sam's. That's what we had. I was opening it up to get a soda or something, but somehow, you know, some demon in our refrigerator had pushed it to the very edge of the shelf. And when I opened the refrigerator, the demonic suction cup of life or whatever, it sucked that bottle out, and that glass bottle hit our floor, and I did not cuss out loud. And our kitchen was red with salsa. It was scattered. What was once a treasure is now useless because it's scattered. Every once in a while, you might gain some wisdom by asking yourself this question. If I were the devil, I said it's going to be a weird question. What would be the best way to destroy someone? One of the best ways to destroy someone is what broke the heart of Jesus. Scatter them. Isolate them. Separate them. See if the enemy can get you alone, or if he can just make you feel alone or act alone, he can conquer you. You know, there's actually a military strategy to just try to scatter the enemy. What is of great force together is of no strength at all when it's scattered. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he saw that they were scattered. Warning, I want to tell you this morning, the enemy is trying his best to scatter you. And I want to challenge you, don't allow yourself to be scattered from God, scattered from his people, scattered from the house of God. Don't be scattered by division this morning. How many know that we can have differences without being divided? Amen? Don't be scattered by offenses this morning. Have you ever lived in a day? I know I'm young. I'm younger than you think I am. But have you ever seen a day when people were more easily offendable? We live in a highly offended and offendable culture today. If someone offends us, then we mute them. We unfriend them. We hide them. We cut them off. We stop associating with them. And usually we start attacking them. And as we go through life, the people we hang out with and we associate with, it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And the older you are, if you're not careful, the smaller your sphere of influence will be until you're finally isolated and alone, which means you are an easy target for the enemy. And that Jesus looked upon the multitudes and he saw they were scattered. They were easy picking for the enemy. And I'm afraid that when Jesus looks over the church of Jesus Christ this morning, if we're not careful, he's going to look and he's going to see that we're scattered. We're not united. We're not functioning in unity. We're not coming together as he's called us to be the body of Christ. You know, Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, right before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus pulled Peter to the side and he said, Simon, the enemy's asked that he may sift you. You know what that word sift means? It means to examine someone thoroughly in hopes to isolate them. Jesus was saying, the enemy's trying to isolate you. But when you've returned, when you've repented, go back to your brothers. Jesus was heartbroken when he saw people scattered. You know what really hurts the heart of Jesus about people being scattered? Is they're scattered and they don't have to be. They're running from a God that says, come unto me. Right? They're running with their sin and their issues. They're running with their heartache from the God who is the healer. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says these words. You can hear his heart breaking when he says it. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. It breaks the heart of God when we allow ourselves to be scattered by life's issues when he's the one who's saying, come to me and let me heal you. Every once in a while, I'll get home from work to discover that Megan has done something she's not supposed to do. like move 300-pound pieces of furniture by herself, or move a 100-pound potted plant by herself. I mean, I understand it is a solid, 90 to 120 seconds to get from my house to my office. I mean, there's no way she could wait on me. I understand that. I understand. It's all about the timing. The other day, I came home, and there was these huge bushes out by the road. And the minute, I lost my religion before I even got in the driveway. I thought, she has moved those blessed plants from the back of our house to the curb by herself. And before I could walk in the door, I was like, I couldn't even utter my dismay before she goes, "Before you say anything, I want you to know I used the wagon to move the plants from the back of the house to the front of the house, and I dumped them." She had it all figured out so she didn't have to pick them up. I'm just saying, sometimes I get mad, angry, disturbed when I have help I want to give and I can't give it. I wonder how often we break the heart of God. When he has healing for us, when he has help for us, he has deliverance for us, he has forgiveness for us, he has a new life for us, he has a way to take our scattered lives and bring us together with him for eternity. But we demand on doing it ourselves. What breaks the heart of God is when he sees people scattered, when he sees people weary, and third, when he sees the church absent. Look at verse number 36. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The problem is, the thing is, there were people who were supposed to be the shepherds. Right? They had the Pharisees. They had the priests. They had the Levites. They had the religious people of the day. They were all present but seemingly absent. And some would say that the church is absent today. And if we are, if we're absent, the reason we're absent is because we don't see ourselves and we don't see people as Jesus sees them. He says they're like sheep having no shepherds. See, let me just address the first part. First reason, if the church is absent where it's because we don't see people as Jesus sees them. Jesus sees them as weary and scattered, right? Not secure and disinterested. Many of us, we have this thinking that if someone has a nice house or a nice job or drives a nice car, then their life is well put together. And we buy the lie. We buy the facade, right? They have nice clothes on, then obviously they've got their act together and they wouldn't need anything that I have to offer them. They wouldn't need anything that Jesus has to offer them. We don't understand that behind that high dollar shirt or behind that nice door of that nice house is a heart that is hurting and hungry for Jesus. And to them, it's like the shepherd, it's like the church is absent today because we believe the lie. When they say everything is fine, we believe them. When you know that any life without Jesus is not fine. It's not a life. All of us in this room, we've been there. We've had the life without Jesus, and we've discovered that there is no life without him. So don't buy it. Don't believe it. What breaks the heart of Jesus is when we don't see people as he sees them. Jesus said to those disciples, he said, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." The second problem is we don't see ourselves properly. Jesus said, "Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." If we were to go look up when Jesus said those same words in other places of the gospel, you would discover that the people Jesus immediately sends after saying these prayers are those he asked to say the prayers in the first place, right? The ones he told to pray are actually the ones he eventually sent. And we have to realize that if the church is absent, then it's us who's absent. It's easy to read this scripture and think, well, if the shepherds are absent, then let's call the pastor. Let's call the staff. Let's call the professionals. But Jesus didn't say, hold up, boys, I'm here. Y'all just sit down, I got this. Y'all think Jesus could handle it? I think he could. But he didn't do that. He didn't say, hey, listen, see these multitudes? They're weary, they're harassed, they're scattered, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Y'all sit down, let me show you something. No, he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers. And by the way, you are the laborers I want to send. He didn't say, don't pray that God would send someone else. He said, pray that God would send us. See, you and I have been called to be salt and light. Have you ever noticed you can tell when one of those two elements are missing? If salt is missing on your food, you know it. If light is missing from a room, you know it. We can't be satisfied to have a church on every corner. We got to strive to be the church in every corner of our life. I was talking to a young man who'd served the military overseas. And he was telling about what he saw, and I made the comment. I said, man, that country is really in need of revival. The church there is just basically non-existent. And he kind of looked at me weird. He said, oh, no, that's not the case at all. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they have huge churches there. I mean, you can actually go during the weekend, pay money to go walk around those churches. I said, no, you're mistaking big buildings with the people of God. Amen. I thank God for big buildings. I like cool lights and everything that technology has to offer, but what the world needs most is they need people who will be the church. Amen. They need people who will be the church. And friends, we'll be the church when we begin to pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. When we encounter weary people this week, let's be the church. When we encounter scattered people this morning, let's be the church. When we encounter people that have no direction and no guidance, they're like sheep without a shepherd, let's be the church. Let's pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And in a nutshell, what always breaks God's heart is the heart of people we see every single day. So there's two prayers I want us to pray this morning. The first prayer is simply this. If you're in the room today and you're not a Christ follower, I want you to know that God loves you. He sees your heart. He sees your weariness. He sees how life has harassed you. He sees how sometimes you feel like your life is scattered. He sees how sometimes you need answers that you don't have. Can I tell you, he's the answer you've looked for, and he's the answer you haven't looked for. He's the answer this morning. And today you're in the room, say, Pastor, I'm not a Christ follower. But today, for reasons that maybe I don't even understand, there's a drawing in my heart today to get things right with God. And you know, today is your day. Now is your moment. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to start following Jesus today. Not going to embarrass you or single you out, but I do want to pray for you. Amen. Secondly today, church, I want to ask you all across this room, could we stand together? And let's just pray this prayer. Lord, I know it's a bold prayer, and I don't want you to lie to God, all right? You're in church, don't lie. But I would ask you to be bold enough, be courageous enough, be daring enough, because I know this is a bold prayer. I used to say this as a kid. I just double dog dare you, right? To pray this bold prayer. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Begin to pray. I challenge you to pray that prayer every single day this week, starting today, so that we can be the people God's called us to be. By seeing ourselves as God sees us and seeing others as God sees them. Father, we just begin to pray that prayer all across this room this morning. We just pray, God, break our hearts with what breaks yours. Lord, so many times I've been guilty of praying for comfort. I've been guilty of just praying for my own needs. I've been guilty of just praying for what breaks my heart. And sometimes those things are insignificant or inconsequential. But Lord, today I change my prayer. I pray, Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Help me see people as you see them. Help me recognize when people are weary and harassed, no matter what facade they have over their life. God, I pray, help me recognize when people are scattered by hurt and scattered by disappointment, scattered and isolated from being part of the family of God that you want them to be a part of. And help me respond in that moment as you want me to, Lord. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And Lord, finally, use me in that process. Lord, where there are shepherds absent, I don't just pray for you to send someone in. We pray, God, here I am, send me. Use me as part of the solution. Use me as your hands and feet, your mouthpiece extended. Break my heart for what breaks yours, Father. Do it today. Do it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to do something unique with this prayer that maybe I've asked you to do with other prayers the last couple of months. I want to ask you to make this prayer part of your daily routine. Maybe you want to stick it on the dashboard of your car, if you want to stick it on in your Bible, but somewhere, make every day this week, I challenge you to pray this prayer. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I believe it has the potential to radically, radically change your life, your family, our church, and our world. If we'll pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Father, bless the people today. Lord, bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.